If you have a Bible with you, I'm going to invite you to open it to Acts chapter 11. And this is where I'd like to focus our thoughts this morning. I'd actually like to read a section from verses 1 to 18. And that's a big section, but I'll unpack a smaller portion of that as we preach, as we preach. Maybe some of you are going to say amen once in a while, or what are you talking about? You know, those sorts of things. That would be great. Acts chapter 11, and I'm reading in the New International Version. It says, "The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. They said, 'You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. How dare you?' And starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story." This is from chapter 10. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. And I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. And then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' And I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' And this happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying in Joppa. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. And then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" And when I heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." Would you join me in prayer? Lord, as we look to your word today, we pray that you will open our hearts and minds to all that you have in store for us, how to learn from Peter and from this vision, how to walk it out in our day and in our time. And so, Lord, have your way in us, we pray. Amen. Well, we heard some announcements, and we had that beautiful upward basketball, the family that was up here this morning, Teresa and husband and kids. And it's great to get back to doing some things in person. And as a church community, you've probably been feeling that. Maybe you've been feeling that in your neighborhood, too. How are you doing? How are you doing with this going back to school and having in-person appointments and interacting with neighbors again and being a part of events that are happening? How's that going for you? It's a change. It's wonderful. Can also, it can feel like, oh, good, we're getting back to some normal connection with people. It might feel tricky for others who have enjoyed this. I know my friends who are high introvert have loved the pandemic lockdowns. It's like, great, no social pressure to have to do stuff, to go be with people that I don't want to be with. Anybody in that camp here that wants to disclose that? Yeah, there's a couple hands. There you go. One of them is my wife, but that happens. But you know, sometimes living in a society is tricky, especially when individuals and institutions seem to continually emphasize the things that divide us. You notice that? to emphasize the things that kind of polarize us and pull us apart. And I don't want to do that in the room today, but I just note a few things happening in our society that where immediately we can kind of polarize and be on opposite ends of a situation, how we view it, how we think about it, how we act on it. Take public transit and transportation rules. Take gender education. Take politics. This past week, we witnessed our House of Commons pause and remember the Queen's passing. But even there, there's this division about the role of the monarchy going forward in the future. And wherever anything comes to the table, Indigenous relationships, immigrants and asylum seekers, and increased cultural and religious diversity, it seems that there's always opportunity to kind of pull us apart from one another. So how do we then maintain a sense of unity when we don't have uniformity? This impacts our churches, it impacts our communities, our neighborhoods, our apartment buildings. They say you can't choose your family, you can't always choose your neighbors either. And in society, how do we live as followers of Jesus and to begin to share our lives and share the gospel with those who are completely different from who we are? We see a little bit of that as we go to the story today. Peter's vision. You know, Christy and I have lived with her mom, Sandy, and our children. We raised our children in the same house, and we've been there for 19 years. And in that time, of course, we moved in when we were the first house on our side of the street in what was then a new development. Some of you have been in a new development. Now, when I was a small boy, my father was building homes, and we lived in Cardiff Acres. It's no longer a new community. It was when we moved in there. And so we are in our community. It's no longer a new community. We were the first house on our side of the street. We had nothing but fields all around us, dirt, construction site. Wake up every morning to the sound of hammering and nails and the pouring of concrete. It was just a joy. Well, they had that billboard. You know the billboard when they sell homes in new communities and they say, if you live here, this is the glorious life that you will have. These picket fences, all these kids frolicking down the street, playing together. And there's that vision that they're selling for this neighborhood. And then real people, if you can believe it, actually move in. Not these avatars, these people that I imagine in my mind, but actual people. And all of a sudden, there's this diversity that happens within a neighborhood. And we have lived there long enough now to see most of the homes on the Crescent change hands 3 and 4 times. And this is normal in most of our communities where we live, in our apartment complexes or in our neighborhoods. That first wave, there was such a disconnect with the picture on the billboard and the reality of who are your actual neighbors. And so as God invites us to live and share the gospel and to live in the real world, it means we're going to rub shoulders with people who are very different from us, even those with whom we disagree on social issues and political issues and even religious views. So do we simply stick with those who are like us? Or do we surround ourselves with the like-minded? Or how do we continue to make a kingdom difference with all those whom God brings our way? And that's what today's text is so important. It's actually a really important vision that Peter had, where God says to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And he replied, "Surely not, Lord. I don't want anything unclean to touch my lips. I'm doing that because you've called me to be holy and set apart from the world." And yet, immediately, right after that happened 3 times, God sent some messengers to his door who were people that he was not supposed to associate with. This text is telling of this vision that Peter had, perhaps more of a nightmare, where he had this vision of an encounter with Cornelius and his company. They came from Caesarea. Caesarea was a maritime city that was a Greek city that Herod the Great built. And Peter was in Joppa, which was mostly a Jewish community. He was spending his time mostly among Jewish background believers like himself. And he hoveled there, and he hunkered down, and he was with his own kind. And he gets this vision about being open to those whom he would consider to be unclean, and lo and behold, they're at the door. It's about Peter, who traveled throughout all the Jewish communities of Lydda and Joppa, getting used to the fact that God's good news was going to Gentile people, those whom he considered by his religious background to be unclean. Now, if any of you have studied the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 11 is a great place to go if you want to read about the purity laws that Jews kept themselves to in order to not contaminate their lives and to be set apart for God. And the lists that are there are incredible. Now, in terms of this, Cornelius and the others who came to the door on his behalf had started to encounter a living relationship with God. Now, you think that this would be good news to Peter, that this would be good news to his friends, to the Jewish believers that were there. Instead, we read in the beginning of Acts 11, verse 1, they said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised believers." So it wasn't that they reacted to this good news that Gentiles were coming to follow Jesus, or even that these Christians that were persecuted and dispersed out from Jerusalem and were sent to all these towns and villages had started witnessing and living out their faith, and now others who were Gentiles were coming to know Jesus. What an incredible story that is. But instead of focusing on those good things, they said, "Peter, you broke the law. You went into a house of an unclean, uncircumcised Gentile." The first thing that came to mind for them was the fact that he was playing outside the rules. He had to stick with the Jewish background believers. So Peter tells the story. He repeats this whole vision that he had from God. It's like a playback of chapter 10. Roll the tape, unpack the whole thing. Now, note that these friends that came to the door, that would have been a little intimidating for Peter. Can you imagine receiving that invitation, a little entourage, coming from Caesarea, knocking on your door, saying, "Come with us." And in the midst of that, Peter is thinking back over this entire vision. It's such an important turning point in the Christian movement that the salvation and life of Jesus and an opportunity to become a disciple was no longer going to be centered just on those who grew up Jewish, but was going to be shared with Greeks. It was going to go out from Jerusalem to Gentile communities near and then farther. And this is a beautiful hinge point, this chapter 9 to 12, where we find this passage. And from then on, we see that not only Caesarea, which was a Greek city of great importance, but Cornelius was like the first fruit of this Gentile experience that Peter had. Someone completely different from me can follow Jesus too. I want you to hang on to that. The point I want to make here is that God, by his Spirit, directed Peter to say, "I'm going to teach you, Peter, how to have fellowship with those who are completely different from you. That they too are those that I desire would come and follow me and be part of my kingdom." And that is such an important thing that Peter, first of all, he invited the entourage into his home. Now, why did he do that? Well, if you map it out on Google Maps, the distance between Joppa and Caesarea is about a 12-hour walk. So, a 12-hour walk. How many, does that sound inspirational for you? You want to do that? Those online, you can raise your hand in the chat. And so they had come 12 hours to knock on Peter's door. And so by then, it was going to be evening. And so he said, "Come on in." He hosted them. Now, why wasn't that a problem? If the vision was a problem, and being known in the house of an uncircumcised Gentile believer was a problem, why was it not a problem for him to host these uncircumcised Gentiles in his home? Does that make any sense to you? Well, we see that in the law, that it was not only important for Peter to keep himself pure, but to express hospitality. This was part of the Jewish way of life, that whoever came to your door, you would receive them and treat them as you would a fellow Jew. And so he wasn't breaking any laws to play host to these Gentiles when they came to his door. What was the problem was that the vision that he had and the call was to go to Cornelius' house. And therein lies the problem, that he would have to enter the home of an uncircumcised Gentile. And so he does that. Well, Peter gets there, and we see what happens in Acts chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. Peter told them the first thing. He didn't say, "Oh, by the way, I'm so glad to be in your home." He starts out by saying, "You know it is against our laws for me to be here, to even associate with you. I'm a Jewish man entering a Gentile home. I just want everybody to know that I'm uncomfortable, and this is breaking a law, and I don't know, I'm trying to honor God and please him, but I have no idea what I'm doing here, and it feels like I'm breaking God's law." But then he said, "But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me." That experience for Peter was being completely out of his comfort zone. I don't know about you, I don't like being out of my comfort zones. And there are times in life when God invites us to go through an inner transformation, to be with people that we would rather not be with. And you know that anxiety that you can feel and that struggle you can feel. On top of all of that, you may have spiritual pressure to say, "Am I really supposed to be in this place as a follower of Jesus?" And yet, God wants to lead us in our lives, sometimes even out of our comfort zone, for the sake of the gospel. I want to look at two aspects of inner transformation that Peter had to go through. Peter began to speak in Acts 10, 34 to 35. He said, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and who does what is right." The first inner transformation that Peter had to go through was how he sees other people. How he sees other people. Back in that verse 34, we read that God does not discriminate between persons. Now, there's a scholar named John Polhill, and he comments that the Greek word here for not showing favoritism is actually constructed out of some Hebrew words, a Hebrew idiom or expression that means lift a face. Lift a face, which means essentially God doesn't look up at some and down at others, but he lifts everyone's face. He doesn't show partiality. He lifts all of our faces to look in our eyes. Every person we meet, he lifts a face. And so this blessing of God to turn his face toward you and give you peace, we read in the book of Deuteronomy. This is such an important aspect of seeing people how God sees them. And to lift a face, not to look up at some and down at others. Now, there's a song that has become significant in this message by an artist named Gregory Porter. This song is called "Take Me to the Alley." And you've got some of the lyrics on the screen there. I love this song. Christy first introduced it to me. She heard it on, do we give Jazz FM a shout out? Okay. Jazz FM, everyone. She was listening to that on her way to work one morning, and this song came on, "Take Me to the Alley," and it was so gripping to her that we downloaded the album, we got acquainted with Gregory Porter. Gregory Porter actually wrote this song, "Take Me to the Alley," when the Pope came to visit New York. And he was inspired by all of the people that were making all the preparations so that the Pope could come and visit with people of high importance and to have high-level meetings. And so we read in this song that they'll gild their houses in preparation for the king to come. And they'll line the sidewalks with every sort of shiny thing, but they'll be surprised when they hear him say, "Take me to the alley. Take me to the afflicted, to the lonely. Come to my table, rest here in my garden, you will have a pardon." What a beautiful calling for our lives as we associate ourselves with the King of Kings. That the King is interested not in looking up at some and looking down at others, but whoever we meet is precious in the sight of God, is made in God's image according to Genesis 1. What a beautiful tribute it would be if we continued to look at other people, even those that we know we have to dig really deep to be with, but to see them first and foremost through this lens of those whom God is inviting to his table. Mother Teresa is such an excellent example of this. Mother Teresa is quoted as saying that she finds Jesus in the distressing face of the poor. That whoever she met, she actually served them as she served the Lord Jesus because she saw Jesus in them. It was a way for her to understand that her life was devoted to seeing people the way that God saw them. Some authors, Muck and Adini, say this about Mother Teresa. If she were here today, she would be disinterested in posting Instagram stories about her work or publicly decrying all the injustice being experienced in communities across our country. There is a simple profoundness to her legacy. She didn't organize a movement. She did not decry the unjust acts of others. She simply helped one person after another. And even as I relate to others who are very different from me, I can fix my eyes on Jesus, as my friend John Cressman shared so beautifully last week, that I can see Jesus in them and serve them with the love of Christ. The second inner transformation, though, is how it changed how he saw himself. Peter was defined by his Jewishness and by separating himself from the world. And how do you see yourself? In Peter, in his encounter with Cornelius, he learned something about himself, that he could, in good faith, enjoy table fellowship with a Gentile, Christian brother or sister. That he could sit down with someone who was completely unclean in his mind before. And so many of us live with pressure from society to not only conform to be like those around us, but to live just in an enclave with those that we like to be with. And God wants to break through in that vision of ourselves, how we see ourselves, how we see where God has sent us in our communities, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, to live and to connect with others and to share the light of Jesus. Jesus wants us to break through our social conventions and even our spiritual community conventions that prevent us from going towards those that God sends our way. It's no wonder that this is the turning point in the book of Acts. I love that from this point on, as you read the book of Acts, Peter simply begins to fade, and the Gentile story emerges and erupts. We hardly read anything else about Peter. Isn't that fitting? That here Peter goes through this transformation, and it's no longer about himself or how he wants to define his life. He is ready to serve the mission of God and how God wants to bring the good news to all peoples, to all nations. Perhaps the reason Luke takes so much time to tell Peter's story is that it's such a difficult turning point for Peter and for all of us who claim to follow Jesus. Have we really wrestled with that sense of selflessness? Have I let the Lord cause a deep inner transformation in me as I think about others and how I see myself, not thinking of myself more highly than I ought, and indeed not showing favoritism by looking up at some and down at others? What a lesson for us. You know, in our community, but also in our circles, be they family, work, friendship, school, church, as we take this word today, would you simply choose to center in on God's urging? God's urging for you and I to continue to embrace this selflessness. John Wesley has this beautiful covenant prayer that he has put together. And if you can read it on the screen wherever you are, I'd invite you to join me in reading this. It says, Whoops. Next, maybe. There it is. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you. Praised for you or criticized for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. When we yield our lives to Jesus, he can do immeasurably more through us than we could ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us. But I want you to imagine today a vision similar to Peter's. A vision from heaven that God would lower before you today. And on it you would see all of those that you might deem unclean or out of your life, out of your viewpoint, not a part of your story right now. And see those people that God wants to show you today. What does it look like to imagine that the restored relationship with God made possible through Jesus Christ for everyone who believes, regardless of race, ethnicity, age, gender, orientation, or ability, that those people could follow Jesus because of your availability in their lives? There is such an important, amazing work of God happening in Peter, and it continues on in our churches because this is God's church. This is God's movement. If we hold back from those we deem unclean, we might miss how God is desiring to build his new community, to see his kingdom advance among all cultures, all peoples. Now, I want to close with this, that the last word in the book of Acts is so powerful. Zoom ahead to Acts chapter 28, and you see these words on the screen. It says, "Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." This is the Apostle Paul. For 2 years, whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house in Rome and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and what? And without hindrance. And sometimes we are the ones who can put the hindrance up, that we are the ones who are unwilling to go to the person that God has sent our way. And here, this without hindrance is freely. Not, you got to look like me, you got to say the right things, but anyone from any culture can follow Jesus. Finally, I want to focus on Andrei Rublev's work, and this is a picture of an old painting, the icon of the Holy Trinity, that he painted. And there's a big word called perichoresis. That's the divine dance where we join God's kingdom reality, but we are together with Father, Son, and Spirit in a dance, so to speak. And Andrei Rublev painted this not just so that we would imagine ourselves at the table, but you notice that the table is open to us. Imagine your life with Jesus as Jesus and everybody else that you meet in the community invited to the table together. And the question is, will you join them? Will you bring them? Will you be involved in walking side by side with those that God has given you a vision for today? That's the beauty of the new community. A vision from God for the wider world, that we as followers of Jesus would become known as those who desire and work for the involvement and invitation of all the people that we meet. Last night we had a chance to walk down by the waterfront. And indeed, there was an open-air church meeting happening on Saturday nights. I don't know if some of you have seen that down there or whether it moves around from place to place. We'll call it pop-up church. It's very trendy. But the point is that somebody has been inspired to simply be available in the open air. And I know that this may be a church group that's looking for a building such as you have. It may be a church that is looking beyond just someone's living room, but to connect with those who were there. And there was this diverse group of people that this small group was ministering to down by the water. And I don't know the origin of the group that's there, but I know that in my work with the global church, that nowadays the average Christian is not a white person like me from Canada, but is predominantly, it can be characterized by a Muslim woman, a Muslim background woman in a remote Nigerian village. This is the shape of the Christian church, that there are now more Christians alive in what we call the global south, in Latin America, in Africa, in Southeast Asia, than anywhere else on the planet. The shape of the global church is changing, and as groups of people come to our community, some of them are bringing with them a desire to share Jesus. They're going to need our support. We're going to need to treat them as brothers and sisters and build relationship with them and encourage them. And the inclusion and the fullness of life for every person continues. And what a joy it is to live for Jesus and serve Jesus. So don't be discouraged that perhaps you drive by old church buildings and congregations are closing. God is on the move in ways that we can't even quantify. That there are movements of millions of followers of Jesus around the world that continue to grow and expand. That's the story that we're a part of. It is the same story that Peter was called into in seeing the good news break forth among non-Jewish people like you and me, unless you're Jewish background. But most of us are Gentile background. And so what a gift to be seated at the table with Father, Son, and Spirit, and to walk together and invite all those whom God would send us out to build relationship with. May His transforming, beautiful, new community and vision for one people from every tribe, language, and tongue continue through us. Thanks. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for a chance to enter into your word today, to see the transformation that you caused in Peter's life, to open his heart and open his life to people formerly seen only as unclean, untouchable, and not a part of his story. Lord, for each of us today, would you continue to do your work through us? Give us eyes to see. Help us to slow down and pay attention to those around us, to those that you would invite us to build relationship with, and those that you would even give us vision for. Lord, I pray for each one of us that as we leave this place today, that we go out with a fresh sense of the joy and purpose of what it is to live and follow Jesus, to go and help others to do the same. And would you use us as agents of your blessing, not to look up at some and down at others, but simply to rejoice in the fact that you don't show partiality to anyone. And may the good news of Jesus continue to expand around the world with boldness and without hindrance. For your sake we pray. Amen.